broccoli, asparagus, bananas, avocados, and Vegemite all have one thing in common. They're all rich in folate, a popular add-on therapy for depression. But with so many forms of folate available, how do you choose? Welcome to the Carlette Psychiatry Podcast, brought to you by the Carlette Psychiatry Report, keeping psychiatry honest since 2003.
I'm Chris Aiken, the editor-in-chief of the Carlette Psychiatry Report.
I'm Kelly Newsom, a student psych NP and a dedicated reader of every issue. Folate has been used for decades to treat depression, but there's a new kid on the block that's challenging its place, methylfolate, known by the brand name Deplin. Methylfolate is FDA approved as a food supplement to augment antidepressants. One of these vitamins is cheap, readily available over the counter, while the other one comes as an expensive prescription. So in our August issue, we dug through the research to figure out which version of this antidepressant vitamin you should use. Dr. Aiken, how did this question come up?
Well, every time I've been to a conference on natural and alternative medicine, someone asks that question, folate or methylfolate. And I've been disappointed at these talks that no one has been able to answer it, unless they were on the Deplin speakers panel, in which case the answer was definitive, methylfolate. So Dr. Rehan Aziz took up the challenge of answering it in this issue. I was actually quite skeptical going into this that he would even find an answer, but to my surprise, he did. It turns out there's a new study of folic acid. It was recently published, the largest to date, with 475 patients, and that really helped to clarify it. The full answer is in the report online, the article on methylfolate for depression. But in this podcast, we're going to give some background information on folate that'll be useful both to our readers and to our listeners of the podcast.
Yes, the article focuses on the folate versus methylfolate debate, but the clinical trials use a lot of other folate varieties. Folate, folic acid, methylfolate, and folinic acid. What's the difference?
Oh, those are vitamins.
Vitamins?
Yes, vitamins are different chemical versions of vitamins that can act like that vitamin in the body. So, for example, most vitamins have vitamins. B12 has vitamins like cyanocobalamin and methylcobalamin. B3 has niacin and niacinamide. So people often talk about vitamins like they're interchangeable, but in the case of folate, they really are not.
So what's the difference between these folate vitamins?
Basically, there's synthetic and natural versions of folate. Synthetic versions usually have the term acid in them, like folic acid and folinic acid. Folate is the natural form of folate. Now, the reason that folate is so important in psychiatry is that it's involved in the production of neurotransmitters, including serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. But folate doesn't actually do any of that. It has to be converted first to methylfolate, which you'll remember is the brand name Deplin. So methylfolate is the active form of folate in the brain, and that's the one that's FDA approved for depression.
So I see why this would be confusing. If folate converts into methylfolate, then it should be good enough to give patients folate in order to treat depression, because it would convert, right?
Sort of, but there's a catch to that. It's the MTHFR, or methylfolate reductase gene. Some people have difficulty converting folate into methylfolate because of a mutation in that gene.
I've seen that gene. A patient brought in a copy of their GeneSight report, and they said that they needed to take methylfolate because they had a mutation in one of their genes for that MTHFR.
Yes, that's the idea, but you know, it may be overstated in a lot of patient encounters like that. To start with, that patient you're talking about had only one mutation. They were heterozygous, so you really need two mutations to be considered deficient in the conversion. That's called homozygous when you have two problems on the gene. Another complication is that there's actually many different versions of the MTHFR gene. And in my practice, patients are bringing in genetic testing from other doctors, usually from integrative physicians, and saying that they have a deficiency of MTHFR. They might not be homozygous, and it may not even be the gene that's been linked to depression.
What are those genes?
These are the C677T and the A1298C mutations. It's those two mutations that have been linked to depression, And the GeneSight testing only tests for the C677T. So it's those mutations that we think might predict whether a patient needs methylfolate instead of folate.
So is it true that patients who are homozygous for the MTHFR C677T mutation are more likely to respond to methylfolate?
In theory, yes. But strangely, we were unable to find a single clinical study backing that up or even looking at the question. So here we have a commonly used genetic test that many patients are bringing in, saying they need methylfolate because they have this gene problem, and it's entirely theoretical. I ask our listeners, if you're aware of any clinical studies backing this up, please send them to us at asktheeditor@thecarletreport.com. We did find a lot of other markers, though, that predict good response to methylfolate. It's not just this gene. One of the major markers was obesity. Patients who have a BMI greater than 30 are more likely to respond to methylfolate.
So I understand that we get folate from the diet. It's in the green stuff, lettuce, spinach, broccoli. It's also in oranges, bananas, beets, eggs, nuts, beans, and liver. And of course, Vegemite.
Well, what is Vegemite?
It's a black paste we put on toast in Australia, and it's full of vitamins.
Well, the Australians must be onto something, because that's actually where most of the research on diet and mood is coming from. It was the Australians who developed the diet for depression. We reviewed that a few podcasts ago. And that diet actually emphasizes not Vegemite, strangely enough, but a lot of green leafy vegetables. And it's true that diets that are deficient in folate are among the many causes of depression.
So back to the folate vitamins. Natural folate is found in foods, but a lot of foods are supplemented with folic acid. Is that to prevent depression?
No, depression is not the reason that we supplement foods with folic acid. Folic acid, remember, that's the synthetic form of folate. Folic acid supplementation began back in 1988 in the United States, and the purpose was to prevent neurotube defects. So breads, grains, and cereals are often supplemented with folic acid, and nowadays people get about 190 micrograms a day of folic acid just from their foods. To put that in perspective, the usual dose for depression is around 800 to 1200 micrograms a day.
So has all this folic acid supplementation actually reduced the rate of the neurotube defects?
Yes, it has. The rate is about 30% lower than it was before the United States started supplementation. By the way, this is also one of the reasons that pregnant women are advised to take prenatal multivitamin. These are high in folic acid. And it's also one of the reasons that Depakote is so notorious for causing neurotube defects. Depakote depletes folate. Folic acid supplementation was controversial at first, and some argued that it would actually increase the risk of cancer or worsen cognition. That was based on some early studies, which turned out to have the usual flaws of early studies. They were observational and uncontrolled, and more recent studies that have been randomized controlled data actually show the opposite. Folic acid seems to reduce the risk of cancer and improve cognitive function.
And Depakote isn't the only thing that depletes folate. Alcohol does as well. When I see someone with alcoholism, I like to give them folic acid 1 milligram every day and thiamine vitamin B1 100 milligrams every day. But when I work in the hospital, I actually give it IV, and it's called a banana bag there, or a rally pack. These vitamins help prevent Wernicke's encephalopathy, anemia, and alcoholic liver disease.
Yes, so folic acid supplementation does a lot of good, but there is still a little bit of controversy about folate versus folic acid. What happens is folic acid has to be converted into folate, just like folate has to be converted into methylfolate to get into the brain. And as you might expect, there are some patients who have trouble converting folic acid into folate. So the idea is that folic acid might back up, causing potential toxic effect. Now, this whole problem is all over the internet. There's lots written about it and little studied about it. But the bottom line is this: the toxicity of folic acid even in people with this deficiency, is not thought to happen at the amounts used for food supplementation. But it could happen if someone's taking a lot of folic acid, by which I mean around 5,000 micrograms, which is like 5 milligrams a day. So for folic acid supplementation, I would tend to stick to the lower dose ranges, no more than 3 milligrams a day.
Okay, Dr. Akin, if folic acid is so controversial, why don't we just give folate?
I've actually tried that, and for years I was writing folate on my prescriptions, thinking that the pharmacist was filling folate, until I found out they were not. They were filling folic acid. So it turns out the reason is that folate is not shelf stable. So you can't keep folate on a pharmacy shelf, and you can't prescribe it. This is very confusing in the literature because a lot of authors have used these terms interchangeably.
Can you tell us if there are any other risks with folic acid?
Yes, folic acid supplements can mask vitamin B12 deficiency, meaning that the patient won't have symptoms of the problems, and so a workup doesn't happen. Those symptoms of B12 deficiency would be like tiredness and dizziness. So without any symptoms, their B12 would continue to fall, and when B12 deficiency happens and it's left untreated, it can cause significant neurologic problems.
It is pretty safe. There are a lot of places it can be used in psychiatry, and one of the places that I use it is for patients on Depakote. There was a controlled trial for patients hospitalized for mania that were taking Depakote. Half of them were given folic acid 3 milligrams a day, and the other half were given a placebo. The folic acid is what actually helped the mania.
That's an interesting finding, because we often think of giving folic acid to people on Depakote to reduce the medical risks with Depakote, but here it actually helped the mania. And there was a similar study where they thought that folic acid would help lamotrigine work better for the same reasons, because lamotrigine can interfere with folate, but the outcome surprised them. This was a large controlled trial of bipolar depression, and they added on to lamotrigine either folic acid or placebo. And here it was the patients on placebo who did better. The folic acid practically prevented lamotrigine from working at all.
Ooh, so that's a strike against folic acid, but it's just one study.
That's true. So this hasn't led to any kind of grand recommendations that patients on lamotrigine should avoid folic acid. But I suspect this is not a random finding. Now, no one knows how folic acid might interfere with lamotrigine, but lamotrigine does inhibit the enzyme that converts folate into methylfolate. So there's probably something going on there. And it may be that the combination of folic acid and lamotrigine is preventing the uptake of folate in the brain as methylfolate. But from what we know about the mechanism, there's no indication that methylfolate interacts with lamotrigine. And there's even a small study from Andy Nirenberg's group at Mass General that showed methylfolate, that's Depla, actually improved bipolar depression. And because they were aware of this earlier study, they looked specifically at patients on lamotrigine, and they didn't see any difference when patients on lamotrigine were given methylfolate. They seemed to do just as well. So what Dr. Nirenberg is showing is that methylfolate supplementation, remember that's the CNS brain active form of folate, can help bipolar depression. This was a small randomized trial, but it proves the point, and it's actually the same point, I think, that the original authors of the lamotrigine study, the one where folic acid failed, I think it's the same point they were trying to make. And if they had used methylfolate instead of folic acid, they might have gotten much better results, the kind of results they were looking for. Why? Because lamotrigine prevents the conversion of folic acid or folate into methylfolate. So there might be a good reason to give people on lamotrigine methylfolate.
This is really shocking because there are a lot of people who take lamotrigine that eat folic acid fortified foods and are taking multivitamins with folic acid in them.
Yes, and the dose of folic acid in this lamotrigine study was only 500 micrograms a day, which is about what's equal to most multivitamins, though it's a bit higher than what we see in food fortification. Remember, fortified foods give you about 1 to 300 micrograms a day of folic acid. But we're still getting pretty close to the level where it might prevent lamotrigine from working.
Have you seen this effect in practice?
You know, that's hard to say. There's so many variables in practice. When I saw this study, I did start educating all my patients to avoid folic acid if they're on lamotrigine. And maybe that did some good. I don't think that this is something that affects every patient. I think it was enough to change the results in that study. But you don't know who it is that this is going to affect. And I do think of one man in particular. This was a man on Depakote and lamotrigine. So, based on the study you mentioned, I advised him to take folic acid 3 milligrams a day for the Depakote, right? I'm just going with the study here. Well, he called me back 2 weeks later, and he said, "Doc, I don't know what's happening, but I feel like I did before I ever took lamotrigine." Those were his exact words, and this was a man I had not prompted him about this risk at all. So I told him to immediately stop the folic acid, which he did. And he felt much better.
Okay, so there's just one more folate vitamin that I've seen in the studies. Folinic acid. Can you share what you know about that?
Yes, we didn't have any room to cover that one in the journal. Folinic acid is very different from folic acid. Folic acid takes a long route to get to the brain where it's converted eventually into methylfolate. It has to be converted into folate first, so there's many things that can go wrong along the way. Folinic acid, which is another synthetic form, takes a much shorter route. It can go directly into methylfolate and more directly into the brain.
Does folinic acid treat anything?
Yes, folinic acid, strangely and sadly, doesn't have as much research as folic acid. But its biological mechanism looks pretty promising. Folinic acid is available in a prescription form as leucovorin. There is a randomized controlled trial of it in autism where it improved verbal abilities. That was in children and the dose was 2 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. There's also some open label data of folinic acid from the Mass General group in depression. And there they used a dose of 15 to 30 milligrams a day. And interestingly, the same group that did the folinic acid study was done about 15 or 20 years ago, and it was led by George Papakostas at Mass General. This same group of researchers were the ones who went on to work on the industry-sponsored methylfolate trials. Those were the ones sponsored by the Deplin Company, and those are the ones that helped it achieve FDA approval in depression.
Do patients need to be on an SSRI to benefit from folate supplements?
That's the norm. Most of the studies were done in patients on SSRI. But in my opinion, folate supplements, which we've covered many of them, could help other antidepressants work because folate is involved in the production of dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine. Now, importantly, in that bipolar depression study we were talking about, none of the patients were on antidepressants, so that's one that proves that a folate supplement can treat depression without any antidepressant involvement. But yes, back to your point, Kelly, most of the studies we're talking about here involved augmentation of SSRIs.
Okay, so that's some background on this vitamin controversy. If you want to find out who the winner is, methylfolate or folic acid, check out our August issue online at thecarlettreport.com. There, we reveal some new studies that help clarify the differences between these vitamins and tell you how to get them at low cost for your patients. And if complementary and alternative medicine is your thing, then tune in for our November-December double issue, which we're devoting to that topic.
Thank you for joining us. Please send your feedback and questions of all things psychiatric to asktheeditor@thecarlettreport.com. If you like this podcast, visit us online at thecarlettreport.com, where you'll find the full articles and a special discount for our podcast listeners who can get the annual subscription at $30 off with the promo code PODCAST.
The subscription includes the print edition delivered to your mailbox and full access to all the articles on the website. Monthly CME credits to maintain licensure, as well as an option for self-assessment credits toward your board certification.
The CARLAT Report is one of few CME publications that depends entirely on subscriber support. That helps us stay free of the influence of the pharmaceutical industry and bring you unbiased information you can trust.
This is actually our third month doing the podcast. If you like us, give us a rating at the podcast store.